Good evening. If you'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to jump right in tonight. No joking or clowning around, I promise. Really? Is that hard to believe? Serious stuff, right? The words of life. It is a time to be serious, but we can have fun too, occasionally. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now walking in the sons of disobedience. Among them, who too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Please pray with me. Father God in heaven, You are our Lord and Savior, the King of kings and Lord of lords. You have pulled us out of darkness and into the light, and we owe all things to You. I pray, Father, that through this message this evening, that we would get a great picture of the grace that has been given to us and all that You have prepared us for and all the work that You have done. And then in that, we would reflect and respond to our portion of it, which is our faith. We're so grateful for the faith that we have through our leader, for the example that he has led with, and the life that he lived. And that now we will walk in his steps as his followers. So we're thankful for these words that give us life, the words that He has delivered to us, that they may be written on our minds and on our hearts. Thank You, King Jesus, and it's in His name I pray. Amen. So, as we know, all Scripture is inspired, right? The Apostle Paul, is an inspired apostle, and he's given us this divine assessment here, right, of our condition. Previously dead and separated from God, because of sin. And that what he's talking about here is the big D, right? Spiritual death. The separation. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's just the way it is. You sin, you die. And that is the way of all the earth. When we are separated from God because of sin, we are in His eyes dead. And you can't fix yourself. Right? You can't operate on yourself. You need a surgeon in that situation, right? Well, God will act, and He does, and He provides a way. Paul said, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins," in verse 2, "in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." That's the devil. That's Satan, the god of this world. "Of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. We too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of our flesh and of the mind," which is where the new man resides. It's a mindset, as we've talked before. And we were by nature... In other words, by our flesh, by who we were, by our character, we were children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Now, notice now in verse 8 what he says here. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Through faith. Through faith. Through faith is how we are saved. Faith is a messed up spiritual, biblical concept out there in the religious marketplace today, isn't it? Keep the faith, brother! How many times have you heard that? Oh, you just got to keep the faith. Keep the faith, brother! I'm convinced that if you ask some of those people that say that, what exactly does that mean? I don't know. It just sounds good, right? It's a good thing to say. Keep the faith, brother. Keep pushing forward. Keep fighting. Fight in faith. Keep your faith. What does it mean? They don't have any idea. How are we saved by grace through faith? It's the gift of God. And the grace and the means by which we can all be saved. But guess what? Here's the news flash. We have a part in it. The faith. We can't be given faith. That's something that we have to work on. Something that is our part in this process. Saved by grace, God's part. Through faith, that's our part. It can't be given to us. The saved by grace through faith process. God does the heavy lifting, as I've said before in other messages. The grace is God's part. And the faith is ours. Now notice what Peter says in 1 chapter 1. Let's turn there. One of my favorite pieces of Scripture, as some of you know. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter's writing to the Christians, and he says here in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved for you, Christian, in heaven. You who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So by His great power, that has to work through our faith. See, God's great power, it's great, right? The biggest great ever. Like, more great than any great known to man. In the physical sense. He spoke the whole universe in existence in 6 days. It's incredible when you think about that. The vastness of this universe and the complexity of life from start to finish. It's amazing. But I want you to think about something. To transform a sinner to a saint. Now that's power. It's not by fleshly sight or it's by transcending faith. Now that takes a lot more power and a lot more time than 6 days in the power for the physical creation. Why is that? Think about it. Why is that so? This because it involves us, our participation. It involves our fixed goals. Right? And you take anything and put it up against the fixed goals of a human, that's going to take great power and time. We are the weak link in this whole thing because the faith, saved by grace through faith, the faith is our part. All of this potential, the power of God Himself, and yet it has to come down through this little tiny little choke point called faith. Because without it, it ain't going to work. The limitation is our pea brain, finite, fleshly minds. Because where faith takes place, as Steve Doty likes to say, is just north of our mouth and just behind our eyeballs. Right? It's where this thing called faith takes place, in our minds. So God has chosen us to be saved through His abundant mercy, to beget us, as Scripture would say, to a living hope, as what 1 Peter 1 we just read, to give us an inheritance that will not fade away. Sounds nice in this realm, which everything is decaying. Undefiled and reserved. Right? Many of you heard me say, reservation! Get there! It's there! All we have to do is go. Reserved for us by our name in heaven. By His great power that has to work through our faith. Most everybody knows the Bible definition of faith. Most people here, I would say, could give you the biblical definition, which is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. I like the way Rotherham says it. It says, a confidence of facts, a conviction when they are not seen. Some people think that faith is whatever they want it to be or need it to be. Faith is not seen in the tangibles, is it? It's not perceived by our five senses. But Jesus said that with a faith as small as a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to the mountain range, Bear tooth. Just went right by. As soon as I started to say it, you could, with a faith as little as a mustard seed, you could say to that mountain, be gone. And it would be so. I love that. You know what I've loved to have seen is the look on people's faces when Jesus said that. What? That mountain? Really? And they're trying to see the wheels turning, and they're trying to figure this guy out. Obviously, he could do some pretty tremendous things, some pretty tremendous signs, right? They were following him. They were following and listening to his teaching. And then he says, you can move this mountain. That's a big mountain. I don't know, like, I've never been over there, but like the mountains that they have over there seem pretty like mountains, like high up there. They look a little different, but they're high up there. Move that mountain with my faith. Okay. To most people, that would cause a person to sit up and go, huh? How is that possible exactly? Tell me, what are you talking about? You know, the wheels are turning. You can see the smoke coming, right? For most people that want to know, what are you talking about? How is that possible? How does that work? Remember, who said that? He said it must be true. Remember, Jesus said He is the truth, right? So we know that the Scriptures can't be broken. We know that the Scriptures also say it's impossible for God to lie. So what's up? Do we want to know? What's the question? What? How is that possible? How is that going to work? What does that look like? How can I do that? Can I do that? How to show me the way? You know, you're wanting more information, right? That's really the thought of the truth seeker is. Here's a deep thought for you. Answers don't mean anything without real questions. Do we have questions? What does he mean, move a mountain? If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have no lives in you. What? Remember that? In John? The book of John? What'd they do? This is too hard to hear. Whoop. I didn't write that down. Anyway, it says that most of them turned around and took off, right? And offended, actually. But think about what they said about Paul in the book of Acts at Mars Hill. I wonder what this babbler will say. They didn't know what he was talking about. They didn't care or have any real questions. But if you got ears to hear, you'd sit up and think, how is that possible? Right? We got to ask the questions. If we're not asking questions, there's no thirsting for knowledge, is there? It's another key word that Jesus uses. I like this, and then Peter, he was smart enough to actually speak up and say, where would we go, Lord? You are the Christ. You have the words of eternal life. What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? You have life. We've given up everything for you. Do you think Peter understood what he meant when he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood? Probably not. But he's like, no, we're sticking with you. Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Who are we going to listen to? And remember, the Jews had this dietary law, right? And I don't remember seeing that it included eating people. He didn't know what he was talking about, but he was there to stay. It says that most of the people walked away. This is a hard thing to hear. And they left. Wouldn't you be a little curious? I think I would be. I hope I would be. What do you mean by that? What are you talking about? Can you tell me more? Right? Jesus said, those who hunger and thirst will be satisfied. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. We should have turned there because I referenced it. In Hebrews chapter 11, you remember that now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Well, let's look at another verse. Let's look at verse 6. It says, and this is one that would be we'd be familiar with, most of us, and without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Again, these scriptures are inspired by the Holy Spirit. This isn't the opinion of the Hebrew writer here. It's inspired writing. That's why we really got to sit up and pay attention when he says something like, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Okay, you could take that in a lot of different places. Won't enter into the kingdom of heaven, will not be reborn, all those things. You ain't getting in. It's impossible. It ain't happening. And this thing called faith is important. It can move mountains, for crying out loud. Even just as a little bit as a mustard seed. Without it, you cannot please God. Even just that little grain of a mustard seed. Can you go to heaven if you can't please God? I wouldn't think so. In order to go to heaven, you got to please God, right? Jesus said, I always do the things that are pleasing to my Father. I'm always doing that. I'm always about the Father. The Apostle Paul says that it is always their aim to always be fully pleasing to Him. We can't please Him without faith. And remember, from our text, God, the grace is God's part. All right, faith, the faith of that in that equation is our part. Verse 6, say to the one that believes He is, that He exists. Okay, so what is it difficult to know or to prove that God exists? No. It's all around us. The book of Romans chapter 1 says that we can prove that He exists by the things that were made. All around us. He exists. That's what Scriptures say. You can prove that God exists, no problem. By the things which are made. You take the example of a cell phone. I left mine back on my seat. Hopefully my daughter doesn't have it. You take example of a cell phone. Now, somebody made that cell phone. I had one right here. People online, I'm holding a cell phone. Somebody made this cell phone. Right? And people are like, yeah, duh. Of course somebody made it, right? They might say, well, yeah, but who made it? I don't know. What was their name? I don't know. What are they like? I don't know. Male or female? I don't know. Well, then how do you know that they exist? Because the phone exists, right? We don't have to know them or know their name or if they're white, black, or yellow. They exist because the phone exists, right? It's a created thing, which means it had a creator at some point. Whether we know if they were male, female, white, black, yellow, doesn't matter. There's a creator because it exists. It didn't create itself. Although that's what they would have you believe, most. No one would say that it created itself, but that's the whole point of Romans chapter 1, is telling us that we can know that God exists by that which were made. You can know that God exists by reason, experience, and observation. Really. For a truthful person, you can know God exists by those things. In fact, Psalm 14 says, the fool says there's no God. That's a fool. Only a fool would say that when you're... Okay, I'm going to get off on a tangent. But you... Okay, now shifting gears. But you don't know God except by revelation. Let me say that again. We can't know God except through revelation. We know He exists, but to know God, only that comes by revelation. He has to be revealed to us, and He is. The Bible reveals the unseen God, and you know His will. So first you must believe that He is. That to me is the no-brainer. He exists. But here's the deal. When does he reward? When those believe He is and diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. And you get the blessings. You gotta put in a little work, is the idea. Seek Him is an action word, right? In other places of Scripture it says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. That sounds like a lot of work to me, just that word. A little effort or a whole lot of effort? Actually, yeah, a whole lot of effort it's going to take. It's going to take work on our part Jesus says you have to hunger and thirst for righteousness in order to be fulfilled. The Lord said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you, for everyone that seeks will find. Well, you got to seek. Action. Take action on our part. Belief is where it begins, but that's not enough, right? For we know that James teaches us in James chapter 2, verse 19, you believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. Will there be demons in heaven? No. Does it take much more than belief? Yeah. Is that where it starts? Yeah. Because without true belief, you're not going to act, are you? True belief produces action. But we have a part to play. Make no mistake. In Romans chapter 10, let's turn there real quick. This is another verse that many of us are familiar with. It's a powerful verse. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we get an idea of where faith comes from. In verse 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. This thing that will move mountains, this thing by which we are saved, by the power of God, by His grace, it comes by His word, and by the hearing of it. We know that grace is His part, and now faith is our part. We are saved by grace through faith. It's been mentioned before. Grace, many would repeat this as unmerited favor. Nothing you can earn. True. That's true. It goes a little deeper than that. Grace is the divine influence on the inner man, manifested in the life. In other words, these changes, because we are His workmanship, as we read earlier. He is the potter. We are the clay. We are His workmanship. His workmanship created unto God and to Jesus Christ for good works, seen in our lives, manifested in our lives. That's grace. Divine influence on the inner man. Holy cow, there's something going on there much deeper than unmerited favor. There's a lot going on there. And I mean real power. Not power to create dirt, for example. The divine influence on the inner man. It's real power, but it's only manifested in our faith or through our faith. Man, I don't know about you, but I want my eyes to be fully opened. I want my ears to truly hear. I want to walk in newness of life. In the newness of a mindset, not the broken down mindset of the past. I hate that guy. I really do. Can't stand to look at him, pictures of him sometimes. I don't want to be unclean. I want to be cleansed. I don't want to be demon-filled. I want to be spirit-filled. Don't you? This can't happen apart from our faith. I was dead. You were dead. But by the grace of God, we were made alive and seated with Him in the heavenly places, we read. Living in a transcendent place, above and apart and beyond this dark, crazy, dead world that we're walking in. So this thing called faith comes by hearing, and by hearing of the words of God. By revelation, taking what you can preserve by and persevere by reason, experience, and observation, and then opening of the eyes, the spiritual eyes, the eyes of your understanding, to know what is the length and the depth and the height and the breadth of the things that God has prepared. The finer things of God's teaching. Like the Bible class in the mornings. Man, people, if you're not going to that, you need to be. This is the deeper, finer things of God. These types of studies. To fully know Him. invaluable time. You know what he had, you know what he created, this physical creation of earth, the sea, and all that's in it. He made the moon, the stars, and the sun, and all, yeah, in the account, at the end of it, he throws in there like, oh yeah, and I made all the stars. Made the stars? Made the stars. That seems just like something that you'd fit at the tail end of something, right? Made the stars. Do you realize? Stop and think about that. How many galaxies do they think that are out there? Like millions, right? More than that? Billions. Billions? They don't know. They don't know. The star... I made the stars. What? Wow. Great power. The scientists don't even know. They are guessing. God says, I did that in 6 days. Yeah. But when it comes to transforming us into the image of His beloved Son, because that's what Scripture says about us in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. That's the deal. It takes more than 6 days to do that, and a whole lot more power. All that amazing supernatural power of God. And yet, guess what, pilgrims? It's rendered powerless in unbelief. The power of the Almighty God, Creator of heavens and earth, powerless because of unbelief. Because that saved by grace through faith requires our participation. Oh yeah, the faith part. Our faith is the victory. We are saved and succeed by what we believe, because that's what we'll achieve. Don't get me wrong, God is victorious. But if we as individuals want to partake in the victory, it's only going to happen through faith. It's interesting that people say, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. What's really amazing is that Jesus believed in you. And He believed in me. That's what is really amazing. And you think about it from His perspective. As dark, lost, confused, fearless, little, insignificant grasshoppers in this huge world, in this huge existence, how insignificantly small are we in comparison? And yet God says He knows us all. In fact, He knows the hairs on our very heads. What? Ask the questions. How does that... What? Really? Can you wrap your mind around that? Here's the thing that I came to. I need to stop thinking physically. Because in that picture, in the physical sense, that is impossible. How infinitely small I am in this existence. Spiritually, however, it's the other way around, isn't it? It's all about us. And everything around us is in support of that. In closing, let's go back to 1 Peter in verse 9. I want to pick this up real quick. In verse 9 of 1 Peter 1, it says, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. I'll read that again. Obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Remember what Jesus said about what would a man exchange for a soul? What would a man profit if he should gain the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? It kind of gives you a picture of a scale, right? You got the whole world on this side and your eternal soul over here. Like, there's nothing here worth that, right? It's your eternal soul is beyond anything in this world. Okay, so we're gonna have to cut some of this short. And now to the end of the outcome of our faith, he says, you have acted on true faith, and so in doing so is the salvation of your soul. Let's see. In verse 10, let's continue. As to the salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things which you have been announced, which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things in which angels long to look at. Was the gospel was preached, God's word is heard, and it was brought by the Holy Spirit, so we know it's from heaven, right? Things in which angels long to look. Angels long to look at, I guess. So, 13, therefore prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Christ. I want to draw attention to this. Prepare your minds for action. It reminds me of another verse in Ephesians chapter 6. You're probably already thinking of it. When he's talking about put on the full armor of God. And it says in verse 14, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. It's speaking kind of the same thing. Prepare your minds. Gird your loins. What's the procreative power is in the mind, isn't it? Do you get what I mean by that? When Jesus said, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. So the procreative power in that is here. Gird your mind. Gird your loins with the truth. Prepare your mind for action. He's preparing us for that. Notice in verse 14, having girded your loins, he said. Man, it's the same word, prepare. Is prepare what? Prepare your mind. Prepare the loins of your mind. It's the procreative power in that process. If you get what I mean, gird up your loins, the loins of your mind, the procreative power to bring forth this new creation, right? To be born again. Again, one of those times would have liked to have seen the face. What? Bringing forth the new creation that scriptures talk about, the new child of God, the new man in the new birth. Gird up your loins. Be prepared. Prepare your mind for this. You need the procreative power working here in order to be born again as Jesus was describing. It's the new creation that 2 Corinthians talks about. Paul said, if a man is in Christ, he is a new creation. As opposed to what? An old creation. Think about that. What was the old creation? Real quick. The old creation was the dirt and the trees and all those things that he created, right? What's the new creation? The Christian. The Spirit-dwelt Christian walking by faith, not by sight. Isn't that cool? Prepare your mind for action. It's not going to just happen, is it? We have to have our minds wrapped around that. God wants His followers to be informed, not to be made to do something. He wants us to want to. By choice. It's a choice. It's been said the biggest power in this realm is choice. It is a choice. Who chooses who goes to heaven and who doesn't? Not God. He already made that choice. Right? He wishes for none to perish, but for all to come to repentance. He already chose. Who chooses? We do. It's a choice. So we have to decide. It's a decision. We have to have our minds wrapped around some of these things, because that's what leads to faith, right? The hearing, and hearing by the words of God. Well, that's going to take a little work. It's going to take a little effort for us to process that. That's what I'm getting at. We need to do our part. Because in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, in closing, "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace." And we know from John chapter 3 again, if someone is reborn, then he is a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. It's a choice. What are we going to choose? He's given us everything. He's given us really everything. By grace, we are saved through faith. That's on you. Thank you for staying late.